Good morning. We are studying in the book of Hebrews, and this is part one of our study. And today, we are finishing part one because we are on lesson number 11, and this is still in chapters 3 and 4. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have taught us so much in these 4 chapters of your word that was written down by the author of Hebrews that you gave him, Father, the message that you wanted these Hebrews to hear, and also that we as believers might hear your word. So I ask you now, through your Holy Spirit, to teach and guide us through your word, Father, that we may know you more and that we may bring you honor and glory and praise. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Now, since we are closing this part of the study, this is like the first phase of the study of Hebrews, we want to go back and look at what we've learned. And, of course, this last study is basically on entering His rest. But going back to the beginning, we learned that the author of Hebrews was a person that we learned in the scripture that he was Jewish and that he was a Hebrew. And God had, he had heard God's word from those that had heard God's word and had been with Jesus. And so they had been with Jesus and Jesus had taught them. And this Hebrew writer had heard this message from those that not only heard the word, but they were taught the word directly by Jesus. So that's what we have learned in the first part. And who was he writing to? We learned that he was writing to Jewish believers who needed to press on to maturity even though they were facing a lot of trials. And the purpose of the writing was to encourage or exhort them because they were going through a lot of persecution. And this entire book of Hebrews is filled with exhortation about Jesus, our high priest. That's exactly what it's all about. In the book of Hebrews, it's about Jesus, our great high priest. And the Jews at that time were very familiar with the position and the intercession that was performed by the high priest of the Old Testament. And also in this book is warning, it's filled with warnings about missing true salvation. So why did the author write to these recipients? Because they were believers in persecution and they needed encouragement. They need to be encouraged so that they would focus on Jesus and not on their circumstances. And they needed to be encouraged to persevere in faith. Now let's look at the first 2 chapters just to review. Both chapters 1 and 2 compare Jesus, the Son of God, with the angels, which the Jews at that time, they held angels in high esteem. So, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, through angels as mediators, but the scripture tells us that in the last days he spoke in his son or by his son, who is God himself. Now the author called the recipients to listen to the word spoken in the son or neglect salvation. And there is just judgment for disobedience, because he was pointing out to them what Jesus said in the book of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So they needed to listen to the word what that was spoken. Now, what are chapters 3 and 4 about? I'm briefly going to go through what we've studied in chapters 3 and 4. First of all, there's a comparison of Jesus with Moses and the recipients with Israel of Moses' time. And these chapters are about entering his rest, about entering the rest of God. And the author calls the recipients to hold fast until the end. So what then is the train of thought in these chapters? The train of thought, or the main point in chapters 3 and 4, is to consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And we learn that he was faithful as Moses was faithful, and that we are his house if we hold fast until the end. So he goes on in these chapters to say, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as they did. Because of unbelief or disobedience, they didn't enter his rest. They all died. So therefore, he says, let us fear. Any one of you may come up short of entering his rest. Therefore, be diligent, strive to enter, so that you won't fall through disobedience as they did. And then he said, let us hold fast. We have a high priest that sympathizes with our weakness, because he too had been tempted just as we are. And then we saw again, he said, to draw near and find grace to help in time of need. So these chapters 3 and 4 give another warning, just as chapter 1 and 2 did. And he is saying in both, well, all four chapters, that you're to listen to him. If you don't listen, then you'll miss salvation and you'll have to face judgment. So if you bear the Son's voice, don't harden your heart with unbelief. Because Israel, those that were in, that Moses brought out of bondage from Egypt, because of their disbelief, they were not allowed to go into the promised land. They all died, those of disbelief, and they faced God's wrath. So the exhortation to believers, part of God's house, and also we're partakers of Christ, is to hold fast to the end. And all of those that are hardened hearts and disobedient are unbelievers. Now, let's go deeper into chapters 3 and 4, especially chapter 4, and study his rest. So, chapters 3 and 4 is about entering his rest. Now, the rest is connected with salvation. And the Greek word is kataposis, and that means ceasing from. The rest is ceasing from. And in verse 3:11, God said in his wrath that they, those with hard hearts, would not enter his rest. And then in verse 3:9, chapter 3:19, the disobedient were not able to enter because of unbelief. And then go into chapter 4, verse 1, a promise remains, still stands, of entering his rest. The promise that was made to them is still here. It still remains to all that will believe. So 4:1 says, let us fear if any one of you seem to come short of it or fail to reach it. And then looking at chapter 4:3, believers are the only ones that enter that rest. In chapter 4, we learned that God rested on the seventh day. And that rest was the Greek word kataposo. And that means to cease from. They cease from their work. And then in chapter 4:5, again, it says they will not enter my rest. And verse 6 of chapter 4 says it remains for some to enter it. And then it also says they fail to enter because of disobedience. And verse 8 of chapter 4, Joshua didn't give them rest. And we'll study some more of that as we go forward. And verse 9 of chapter 4, a Sabbath rest for God's people remains. Now that rest is under the word Sabbatismos, and it's a rest as on the Sabbath. Then in verse 10 of 4, it's a rest from one's own works as God rested from his works. And then 4:11 says to be diligent, to strive to enter so that no one fall through disobedience. Now, what else do we learn? What is that summarizing all that we have read in these? Really, the summary of entering his rest is that believers enter God's rest, believers, and it remains for some to enter it. Remember, we read that scripture that it still remains for some to enter it, and unbelievers don't enter it because of disobedience. And also, to summarize it, it says to be diligent about it so that no one fall and not enter it. It's something to do with salvation. Now, let's look at the Sabbath rest and see what we learned about the Sabbath rest. And well, first of all, we learned that God, in the book of Genesis, said that after that he had created everything and made man, and then that was in 6 days, and then the seventh day, that he rested from his work of creation. Now, I'm not going to read because there's too much scripture to read, but I want you to just take a note and write down these scripture, and then you can go back and you can understand more about the rest that the writer is referring to. There's more than one rest. In Exodus 20, and that means the entire chapter, in Exodus 20, it contains the Ten Commandments, and one is that no work is to be done on the seventh day, the Sabbath. That was one of the Ten Commandments. And it's to be kept holy and kept separate from the other days. And then in Exodus 31, that chapter explains that the Sabbath is a sign between God and Israel, that they know He is the one who sanctifies them. It is perpetual. Perpetual means that it's forever. It's eternal covenant between God and Israel. And anyone not keeping the Sabbath is cut off from his people. And then in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, also calls the Sabbath a sign between God and Israel. God's wrath was poured out on the ones who didn't keep his Sabbath in the wilderness. And then their children did the same thing, and then he scattered them among the nations. Now, let's kind of look at the conclusion then of what we have been studying in Hebrews part 1, chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. So let's look at actually today chapter 3 and 4, because that's what our study today is based on, rest, the rest of Hebrews that's given by the author of Hebrews in chapter 3 and 4. Jesus said that he gives rest for one's soul. So the question is when? At salvation, one rests from his own work as he follows the Lord in his work. And two, there is also a time coming when Jesus will reign as king over all the earth. And we know that is the millennial reign. This is a time when all Jews look forward to. And it's a time of restoration for the kingdom of Israel that's promised by the prophets. And the recipients of this letter would have known these promises. Now, in Hebrews 4, the author says that Joshua didn't give this rest to them when he led them into the promised land. So there is more to the rest than simply entering the land. It's a time of rest in the land for Israel. Excuse me. The coming kingdom is also a time of rest for all who are saved, Jew and Gentile, who are believers in the coming King. And then the time of the new heaven and new earth, when all things will be new, is the other position held by some. This is a time when there will be no more sin and no more death. It'll be a time of complete rest. Now, the last question in the lesson had to do with Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. And I want to read those verses 12 and 13, chapter 4. verse 12, for the word of the Lord, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And, verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him, God, with whom we have to do. Why do you think these verses are in the context? I will give you scriptures that tells us the answer. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, God spoke. It was his word. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he spoke and he also said, pay close attention, not escaped if neglect the word of salvation. Chapter 3, he says, consider Jesus the apostle. Chapter 3, verse 7, and chapter 4, verse 7, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. In chapter 4, verses 2, 3, 5, good news have been preached. Unite with faith. And then chapter 4, verse 12, God's word is alive. It is able to judge the heart. This is part of the warning about not listening to what God said in his word, so no one escapes the eyes of the Lord. So this is the study that we are completing, part one of Hebrews today, and it's about Jesus, and it's about salvation, because salvation comes only through Jesus. And it's by his blood that we are saved. Only by the precious blood of Jesus. He volunteered to take our place, to pay our sin debt in full. And this Hebrew writer is writing down his word as it's given to him by God himself, that we may know and that we may understand why that it's so important to enter his rest, and the only way that we can enter it. So it's so important that we know that we have salvation in Christ Jesus and no other way. There's nothing that we can say or do, or nothing that we can buy. It's only through the blood of Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So before we begin the next study, which will be part two of Hebrews, we need to go back and examine ourselves and think about what the writer has spoken to us through the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, to make sure that we can enter his rest, to make sure that our belief is not on anything other than the precious word of God. And it's only on Jesus, his son. So we will end in prayer today. And I pray that you will continue to study with us as we go into Hebrews part two, and we will take a break again between these two studies, and we'll go probably through December, and we're going to take a time off during Thanksgiving week and also Christmas week, but we'll still record our lessons that we'll be studying. So let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, most precious God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, holy and righteous God, Elohim, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Adonai, Jehovah, Yahweh, the only God, sovereign over all, how precious is your word. How precious is the blood of Jesus. How wonderful to know that we have a Lord and Savior and a high priest that knows exactly what we go through here on this earth. He knows what we suffer. He knows how that we are tempted because he came here in the flesh. God himself took on the flesh through his son and walked on this earth and went to the cross and died. And you raised him the third day, and he is seated at the right hand of God, of you, Father, making intercession for us. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Continue to be with us through your Holy Spirit as we continue to study your word. And bless each one that studies your word and each one that receives and believes upon the name of Jesus. And I ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.